Hello, I'm Shani Hundel, a writer for Common is Free, and this is Suffering in Silence, an audio program for The Guardian. Southall, the hub for many Punjabis in Britain, where the music, culture and food from South Asia mix with the grey skies, heavy traffic and overhead planes of Heathrow Airport. Asians come here from all over the country to shop, visit religious temples, buy music or simply get some Indian grub. I'm standing at the bridge above Southall train station, where 2 years ago the local community was shocked when Navjeet Sidhu jumped in front of an incoming train with her two young children. It made national headlines when they all died. 6 months later, her mum committed suicide at the same spot. Recent and older studies have consistently said that Asian women in Britain are 2 to 3 times more likely to commit suicide than the norm. Why is that number so high? I wanted to find out why so many Asian women were committing suicide. Were Asian men to blame? Or are the police and other social services not doing enough because of political correctness or an unwillingness to get involved? My journey starts here in Southall.
He used to hit me. He was really violent to me. And just sometimes I feel like I ran from one situation and stuck in another situation. Just started bullying me and I was so scared. I felt like killing myself. I did try to kill myself one or twice. You know, it didn't work. I just tried on this hand.
That was Poonam, a young woman who was brought into the UK as an illegal domestic servant in 1994 by an Asian family. They refused to let her out of the house and sexually abused her, saying that if she spoke out or escaped, they would kill her child in India. Poonam had tried to escape India after divorcing her husband, who repeatedly beat her at home. But here she faced even more abuse.
Tried to hit myself. Tried to slap me, bruise me. If it's anything sharp, I just bump in and get hurt like this. I got bruises on my body. I tried to punch myself because I hate myself. I hate myself that I don't know why I come in this situation and why I get victim on all this. And I didn't come in this country to do this kind of stuff. I want to come in this country to live my life, to build something. In my situation, I don't have no family over here. Nobody. Don't you think I should be depressed, kill myself, or run from the situation again?
Do you think there is a lot of women around here who've face domestic violence, or for various reasons they depressed?
Some people they can't speak English properly. They don't know where to whom to talk. They're not very, and the people they take the advantage of like this kind of women, and they make you them housework. They're not allowed to talk with anyone. Family doesn't help. They've tried to persuade you to be, the situation should be solved in the house, but then some women can get out from that situation, but some women can't talk. And they end up suicide, or they go through depression. They are on medication, and the thing, like if I take my case, I think I'm a bad person. I'm a bad person. I hate myself. I hate myself so much. I want to hurt myself. I slap myself. I try to hurt myself. I think I'm the ugliest woman in the world because I'm going through this situation. Women shouldn't feel like that. The Asian family shouldn't do this kind of stuff. I think if you go to the English family, they won't do that kind of things with you. Within the, I'm saying this Asian culture.
Poonam's harrowing story says several disturbing things. She found it difficult to get help or even enter a normal relationship, as others didn't see her as marriage material because of her past. Such crimes not only remain undetected for years, but immigration laws make it more difficult for women like Poonam to seek help if they don't have the correct visas. They're too afraid they'll end up in prison or be deported to an Indian jail where they might suffer even more abuse. She survived this long by being incredibly strong and thinking about the future of her child, but how many others aren't as strong? Shakila Mann from a voluntary group called Southall Black Sisters is now helping Poonam with her case.
A lot of women in her situation have to go underground and are told that, you know, that the only thing they can do, a lot of solicitors actually advise women and some men that it would be advisable for them to remain underground and see if they could apply under the 14-year rule, which is what Poonam had to do. And in that period, you then become prey to a lot of situations, a lot of individuals, because you're so vulnerable. You end up working for no money, sometimes for even £1, £2 an hour, and you're working 24 hours a day. So you do end up suffering from all angles, at all levels, and it's very, very difficult.
In 1996, a report said that Asian women were 2 to 3 times more likely to commit suicide than white women. 4 years ago, a new study painted the same picture, that Asian women were twice as likely as the general population to commit suicide. Given that it's generally men who are more likely to commit suicide, the situation for Asian women hasn't changed much in over a decade. I wanted to know if this affected any of my friends. One was willing to speak about her experiences in public. Rav is a young woman in her late 20s who works in London. She got married at the age of 22 and was divorced just a few months later.
Within a space of a few months, he had decided that that was that, and he ended the marriage initially. I would have loved to have ended it myself, but being the Asian woman in that relationship, it was kind of expected I would put up with it.
You must have been distraught that the marriage finished so quickly, but how did you feel the impact would be from other people, not just within the marriage, but were you scared about what other people would think?
I've been referred to as secondhand goods, kind of sums it up. So that was basically the perception. This was actually from a very close cousin of mine. Everyone stayed away. There was no support of, don't worry, you know, life goes on. Things are going to be fine, you're going to be fine. I was 22, for God's sake, you know, not like I was in my late 40s. But the perception was, you'll have to deal with life on your own or go back home and find a husband. If you're going to be divorced, then, you know, they just don't want to know.
Do you think that there is a sort of an unwillingness also to talk about depression?
In Asian society, depression is seen as, does it exist, basically? Nobody ever said to me, oh, the side effects are going to be depression and you should get some help or talk to somebody. That wasn't offered. It was more like, she'll get over it in a few years' time. Let her deal with it.
Rav isn't alone in the lack of support within the family. There is generally a taboo around depression and mental illness to the point where people claim to be ignorant about what's going on. Family problems are a huge source of depression and tension, and yet, given how much emphasis Asians generally place on the family structure, these tensions are rarely resolved. I met someone who beat his wife and was willing to talk to me about his experiences. Pam is now divorced after relentless arguments that frequently spilled over into physical violence.
You feel out of control, and the reason you feel out of control is because you feel threatened. And many of the times, it's a way of asserting control. It's a way of controlling a situation. It's a way of asserting, you're supposed to...
Your dominance on the situation.
Yeah, exactly. Your dominance or your inability to deal with it. So therefore, you deal with it in a way that perhaps you've seen demonstrated in your family or in your past. And I felt very justified. You see, at that time, you feel like you're out of control. You know, I was pushed too far.
How did she react to what transpired between you two?
Okay, I think the way she reacted would be the way that a lot of girls or women from India perhaps would react. The idea of separation or divorce or dealing with the situation, it's sometimes hard. It's sometimes hard to enforce. You feel, you know, you need to deal with the situation with the husband rather than say, well, that's totally unacceptable. I know certainly the way that I justified it to her at that time, because I felt justified, added some of the blame to her. So therefore, she was thinking, oh, well, I shouldn't have acted that way, or I shouldn't behave that way. And it totally was, you know, so it comes back to this idea that you feel that both parties have done something wrong, therefore both are to blame, and therefore she has something to do as well. Where she came to this country and she was entirely dependent upon me, that made it very hard for her to seek a place of refuge. There's also this cultural stigma of, you know, in Asian relationships, where, you know, divorce or separation is very badly regarded badly, and more importantly, it's worse for the woman, I feel, in many ways. It's easier to remarry as an Asian man than it is as who's been divorced, than it is as for an Asian woman who's divorced.
Palm met his wife in India and now recognizes the pressure she was under. But, as he says, there is cultural pressure to control the women, and that can lead to tension, separation, and sometimes even violence. There's a tendency amongst Asian families to think that problems should be swept underneath the carpet. People don't want to air their dirty laundry in public, and hence these problems fester and get worse. I've come to the Gurdwara in Southall, which is the biggest Sikh temple in Europe. And in fact, it's so big that you can see the Golden Dome when you're flying into London or coming on the Southall train station. I've come here to talk to the management committee or people within the Gurdwara, volunteers who might know more about how they deal with depression within Asian families.
My name is Surjit Singh Arora. I'm a volunteer in this Guru Singh Sabha Southall, Havelock Road Southall.
Do you get a lot of people coming in to the Gurdwara with family problems?
I do get some time with their own family issues, and we try to solve their problems.
What would you suggest to a family if, for example, there was problems within the family, like of violence? Would your instinct be to tell them to go to the social services first, or would you say, look, let's try and resolve this within the family?
I think first we should try to resolve by ourselves, as in our families, with the elders, with the community leaders. The first instant, we should try ourselves to resolve this matter.
Isn't there a danger, though, that if you know of a family where there is some violence going on within the family and you try and resolve it within the family and the community, that if the husband doesn't change or maybe that the woman is too scared of resolving it within the family, that that maybe it should be taken to the social services first?
We should not rely on social services. As there is example of baby PE case. This is the second incident happens in the last 5 years. And personally, I don't have faith in social services. We should try to resolve ourselves. If we say, no, we can't resolve this ourselves, then instead of social service, I will involve the police. They can take the matter further.
But this advice doesn't necessarily work. People don't want to involve the police unless it's absolutely necessary. But the attitude that it should be kept within the family or local community doesn't help either. To understand the high rates of depression and suicide, we have to look at two areas. The causes that lead to them and organizations that try and prevent them and deal with the aftermath. When dealing with causes, it's obvious the Asian family unit is failing. Gurpreet Bhatti is a playwright who addresses the issue of domestic violence and rape amongst Asians in her plays. Her last play, Besti, was shut down after strong protests from Sikhs in Birmingham 4 years ago. It's obvious that people are uncomfortable with airing their dirty laundry in public. Ironically, the message that Gurpreet had used in the poster for her play.
I think there's great fear about talking about these real human things. I don't think we have a a way into them. You know, I don't think we have a way of talking to each other about these difficult, about these very, very difficult things. Your izzet, your family's izzet was paramount, you know. And I'm not saying that the families or our community should become more westernized and that's the answer at all. I really am not. I'm just saying that within our communities, for the survival of our young people, we need to find a way of embracing difficult issues and establishing a dialogue with young people, because we don't grow up in the same way that our parents did back home.
She says even the mainstream media is afraid to talk about these issues, making it even more difficult for Asians who want to raise them.
I think, you know, it's not about being controversial or sensationalist for the sake of it. I think you've got to have something that you wanted to say. The way work's commissioned and what actually gets on is often in the hands of people who kind of have a certain idea of the way Asian people are. So you kind of have this sort of inverted, sort of multiculturalist, weird policy thing kind of going on. I mean, I remember working on a show at the BBC where I remember the, you know, the exec producer being quite, you know, he didn't want the black characters to be negative in any way, you know. So you kind of get this bland, dull, you know, kind of irrelevant to everybody image of a person, you know. It's also, I mean, and again, it's fear-based as opposed to, no, let's talk about this, let's see what this is. So of course we need a huge variety of work, and I think we need people to sort of, you know, be talking about things.
But what about prevention? Even case workers, to a certain degree, only enter the picture once the problem has become pretty bad. It's rare they can do prevention work. Southall Black Sisters, for example, have worked in the local area for decades. The voluntary support group recognises that the advice given by so-called community leaders is perhaps not the best way to deal with this problem. But they are rarely the first point of contact.
I'm Hanana Siddiqui, I'm a joint coordinator at Southall Black Sisters. I think our experience with social services has been that there is a tendency for not to intervene in minority cultures in order to respect cultural difference and be culturally sensitive. So things like forced marriage, for example, has not historically been adequately addressed by social services because it's not been seen as a form of child abuse, but as a form of cultural practice that has to be respected. And I think social services historically let down Asian women in that respect. And that's when I say that, you know, where women become depressed because they have no options to escape. And it's because agencies like social services and the police have historically failed them.
If the government put you in charge of trying to deal with the problem of Asian, with the high levels of depression and problems within amongst Asian women, and suicide, for example, what would you like to see happen? Where would your priorities be?
I mean, there's a number of things, but I think we have to improve practice, you know, in the intervention that frontline agencies make. And one of them, you know, obviously is to kind of deal with the issues around where agencies get involved in mediation or where they refuse to intervene that because they want to be culturally sensitive. Best practice is pretty important on the ground, and it's effective implementation. And if there was a much better response from those agencies, then you would have, you know, early intervention. And you could then prevent a lot of suicide and self-harms as a result. I think that's quite important. And of course, there's lots of things go with that, like resources and training and so forth. But primarily, there needs to be a targeting there. Then I think they also need to target funding of some voluntary groups like ourselves who have a long history of specialism around these areas, who are on the front line and who women trust to come to.
Organisations like SBS and others such as Ashiana, Neum Asian Women's Project, Karma Nirvana, Imkan see these mental health problems all the time, and they know it's deeply intertwined with cultural attitudes. I went to see Zora Musa, a women's rights campaigner who works at the Fawcett Society. I wanted to know what her research tells us about these issues.
I think the government definitely has a responsibility to be doing more. There really aren't the services available for South Asian women that are experiencing violence. So there's very few services anyway for most women experiencing violence. And then less than 1 in 10 local authorities have specific services for ethnic minority women. And we do know that the specialist services that exist are few and are constantly under threat for closure. So it's really difficult if you're a South Asian woman to be able to access support that understands the particular issues that you might be facing. This is a particular problem for South Asian women that are here and who aren't citizens and have come over on visas, who might be experiencing violence, but who can't actually leave that relationship because they don't have the means to support themselves. They'll be living on the street if they exit their house. So it's a complete non-option for them to escape abuse. They're virtually forced to stay in an abusive relationship, beaten every night because the government refuses to support them. I think a lot of South Asian women experience a particular kind of sexism that a lot of other women experience as well, which is stigma around reporting violence. So it's very difficult to come forward when you are experiencing abuse and violence in your home. For a lot of South Asian women, from what we do know, is that there's an additional pressure not to report because it'll be seen like the reason that they're experiencing what they're experiencing has something to do with the fact that they're South Asian. And it'll get pathologized in a different way than perhaps a white woman experiencing the same violence would be treated.
I've come to see Acting Superintendent Jerry Campbell at the Territorial Policing Headquarters in central London. He specifically deals with domestic violence and forced marriage issues within the Met Police. I wanted to see what approach they take in dealing with crimes reported by Asian women.
Jerry?
Yeah.
How are you doing? Hello.
I do accept to be that there'll be other barriers there, you know, in terms of culture, language, the issues around shame and honour and so forth. We very much appreciate that you know there are definite barriers to reporting. That is why we've got quite clear messages with our specialised NGOs around providing that outreach support. You know, media campaigns and other campaigns directed to Asian victims of domestic violence and rape and the various manifestations thereof. So in terms of the support services are quite clearly embedded. Our collective job with those support services and with government is to ensure that our marketing campaign and those messages are clearly delivered to the affected communities. Likewise, we've got to look towards, you know, newly arrived communities and people coming from different parts of the world, where, for example, law enforcement agencies and people in positions of trust are perhaps not trusted, corrupt, or whatever their experiences have been in country of origin. And we've got to quite clearly reach out to, you know, to those people. Allow them to have the trust and confidence in us to come forward and to actually deal with the, you know, those outdated patriarchal issues around honour. Ensure they're educated around the issues around UK law, the fact that, say, rape in marriage is a criminal offence and that we will arrest perpetrators and put them before the court.
To a large extent, the issues in this program remain hidden from society and the media spotlight. We talk about forced marriages constantly because they offer big, shocking stories. Unfortunately, there's shockingly little research done on this issue. The two studies I mentioned earlier were done 10 years apart, and even then, most people don't believe the statistics when I tell them. After speaking to victims and support workers for this program, I've come to the conclusion there needs to be a two-pronged approach. Firstly, to reduce the high level of depression and suicide, we need more open and loud discussions. We need more women and men to speak out and offer encouragement to those who are still scared. We need to use the media and our own families to bring it out into the open. Secondly, there's a problem in dealing with the aftermath. The culture of political correctness that has paralyzed support services and police for years is thankfully going away. But more could be done. With proper research into what initiatives could help reduce suicide rates and with better funding of groups like South of Black Sisters. And the government's focus on keeping immigration statistics low means that the women who are already here and face domestic abuse don't get support. Being Asian doesn't inherently make you depressed, violent, or suicidal. These are problems that have developed because we, British Asians, are failing to look at ourselves enough. In a generation or two, I hope these problems will die out. But until then, there's much work to be done.